In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear friends in Christ, I love the feast of divine mercy. Because we're all sinners, we're all in need of God's mercy. And this day it's so explicit in the readings and in the divine mercy devotions. Now, in the readings for today, two different sacraments are presented here predominantly. Now, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us seven sacraments. But there's only two of those which we can receive frequently. That of communion, going to Mass daily, in fact, if you want to, and then that of the sacrament of confession. As both of these readings are presented, the first reading in the Gospel, and these are key sacraments for this feast of divine mercy. So you have here in the Acts of the Apostles, it said, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the Apostles and communal life, and to the breaking of the bread, and to prayers. Another way of saying the holy sacrifice of the Mass, coming together, community based, centered in our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Sacrament. And then this Gospel from John 20, this takes place on Easter Sunday night. So the apostles are behind closed doors which are locked, and no matter, the resurrected Christ goes right through the doors, and he says, "Peace be with you." Because the apostles are feeling nervous and guilty because they weren't there our Lord's key hour when he was dying on the cross. The only one was John. And then he says again, "Peace be with you," and he shows him his wounds. And then he says something that's key, the sacrament of confession. He said, "As the Father has sent me to you," and why did the Father send the Son? To reconcile us, sinners, the world, to the Father. St. Paul says that. "As the Father has sent me, now you, my bishops and priests, I'm sending you out into the world." So right after he said this, he said he breathed on them. Only twice. In the book of Genesis, God breathes the breath of life in the nostrils of Adam. And then here in John's Gospel, Easter Sunday night, so he's communicating a power to give life, life to the soul. He breathed in them and then said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." All priests and bishops, when we give absolution, we're invoking the Holy Spirit in that formula. "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you retain are retained." In other words, a sin cannot be forgiven. We're not forgiven unless we confess that the priest or bishop knows what those sins are. And isn't God wonderful? He told Peter 7 times 70 to forgive. In other words, we could go to confession as many times as necessary, even if we want to go weekly to cleanse the soul. But of all the days of the whole year, the most important day to go to the sacrament of mercy is today. I think most of you know the promises attached with it. But just to give praise and glory to God, I'll make it more explicit. Read some of the words of our Lord and Savior. Okay? That's what our Lord says. Paragraph 699. "The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion, two sacraments, shall obtain the complete forgiveness of sins and punishment." Paragraph 1109. "I want to grant a complete pardon to souls that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion on the feast of my mercy." The Lord wants us to be beautiful interiorly. He wants us to be perfected. The Lord looks with us as such great joy right when we're baptized. A soul that's stainless, no sins there, no punishment due to sin. And guess what happens in the Feast of Divine Mercy? The Church has said this. Pope John Paul II, blessed Pope John Paul II, theologian, went through the diary, and essentially says this in the diary, it's like we've been baptized again, a second baptism. All sins wiped away and all punishment due to sin. Now for catechesis to mention this here, so if anyone there's any confusion, we could go to confession any time. But what happens during the course of the year when we go to confession, depending on the degree of contrition of our heart and charity, we still may have temporal punishment due to sin, even after we've fulfilled our penance. Depends what degree of our charity is. On this particular feast day, our Lord supplies for all those defects, all those weaknesses. I grant complete forgiveness, remission, and punishment due to sin. Our Lord says, "I am offering people a vessel with which they are to keep coming for graces to the fountain of mercy." These two sacraments we go through frequently. That vessel, then, is this feast of divine mercy. "Tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy." And our Lord really laments that the priests aren't preaching about it. Even when our Lord told Faustina, our Lord said, I forget the paragraph, they don't even preach about it. The priests are supposed to be preaching about it. And the Pope, Blessed John Paul II, Pope Pope Benedict XVI have said this. Tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, especially poor sinners. And all of us are sinners, so this feast day is for all of us. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open, and I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon souls who approach the fount of my mercy. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which graces flow are open. Let no soul fear to draw near me, even though its sins be as scarlet. In other words, that mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. Now think about it. This day, the divine floodgates are wide open. Ask and implore the Lord for many graces today, especially when you receive Holy Communion. Do you have sins of the tongue, detraction, gossip? Lord, give me the power to overcome that. Do you have trouble with food? Maybe watching too much television, too much time on the computer, or gambling, alcohol, etc., etc., etc. Lord, give me the strength, the power to overcome that. The floodgates are wide open. Your desire to grow in your spiritual life. Ask, Lord, help me to have a deep interior life. Help me to be docile to all the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. The divine floodgates are open. Now, with mercy, do we pray just for ourselves? No. For those who read the diary, constantly St. Faustina is praying for people away from the church, the souls in purgatory, praying for her family members. So pray for your family members. All of us here today, we know fallen away Catholics, those are inactive. Either got married outside the church, or they don't believe in God's forgiveness, or whatever, they may be anger, unforgiveness, a big block to God's mercy. They haven't forgiven something, their soul has been rotting inside. Pray for them today. You can obtain many graces for them. The graces of God will flow through you today in a powerful way. At Holy Communion, it is powerful. When a soul goes to confession to this fount of my mercy, the blood and water which came forth from my heart always flows down upon your soul. Now many of you, hopefully all of you, have gone to confession either today or recently. You know, St. Faustina, she would go to confession the day before. The church says if you go to confession even if several days before or after, if you're in a state of grace today, it covers your bases. When you approach the confessional, know this, that I, myself, am waiting there for you. I am only hidden by the priest, but I, myself, act in your soul. Here, the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy. Make your confession before me. The person, the priest, is only a screen. Never analyze what sort of priest that I'm making use of. Open your soul in confession to me, and I will fill it with light. Now, a glorious thing today, as all of us are aware of, Pope John Paul II. It's no longer just said Pope John Paul II. It's Blessed Pope John Paul II. And I'm going to use Eucharistic Prayer 3 today on purpose so I can insert his name there. Now, for your own spiritual life, what I suggest you do, pray to him throughout the day. When St. Therese was canonized, beatified around 1923, there's something like 63, 65 recorded miracles that happened the day of her beatification. She would be canonized 2 years later, 1925. But something happens. The day that a soul is beatified by the church, declared blessed, a lot of graces are pouring. John Paul II is just filled with great joy that what's going on, because it brings glory to God, brings glory to the church. So pray for him for intercession. You know, there's a miracle, but none that had the Parkinson's, but there's so many other miracles that happened in addition to that. Now, all of us here, we're here today, not by accident. God, in his divine mercy, has brought you here. See, this Mass, we're going to do everything our Lord asks. We have the hour of divine mercy, chapel of divine mercy, we're going to bless the image of divine mercy, we have confession, we're going to receive communion with an intention. But you know what happens in our spiritual life? A lot of people, that keeps them from advancing. Fear. Fear that it's going to cost us too much. Fear. Fear is useless, says the Lord. What is needed is trust. What is it at the bottom of the image of divine mercy? Our Lord told St. Faustina specifically to put on the image, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, I have a book here in my hand called Rise, Let Us Be On Our Way, the last book of John Paul II. It's like a grandfather speaking to his children. It's beautiful. This is what he says. The greatest weakness in an apostle, or the greatest weakness in any follower of Christ, is fear. What gives rise to fear is lack of confidence in the power of the Lord. We all have difficulties in life. We all have our struggles. And they're necessary. That's the only way we can prove our love to our Lord Jesus Christ. But many times we forget that God is God. In the snap of a finger, he just blinks his eyes. He could change the situation. He gives great grace to overcome all things. What gives rise to fear is lack of confidence in the power of the Lord. John Paul II had great confidence and trust in the Lord. When he was made bishop when he was 38 years of age, you know, that weight of being bishop. And then that, in 1978, October, being elected the successor of St. Peter, the 264th successor of the Supreme Pontiff, weight that was on his shoulders. But he said, for some reason, God has given this great grace. He always trusted, okay, God's put me here, okay. Fear in an apostle, fear in a follower of Christ, is the principal ally of the enemy of the cause. And who's the enemy? Satan, the devil. God doesn't love you. Look at all these troubles you're going through. You can't listen to the voice. It's the ally of the demons. Fear. You have to cast that fear out. The fear is binding you. Just say, in Jesus' name, I cast out the spirit of fear. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, all these voids in my heart, fill them with your presence. I may have confidence. Then our Holy Father, who had many, many trials in his life. You know, people tried taking his life on several occasions. And then he forgave the Agi Akal who shot him. We will certainly encounter trials in life. That's par for the course of following Jesus. Being a Christian, if there aren't any trials, that means we're not truly living our faith to the fullest, right? There is nothing extraordinary about this having trials. It is part of the life of faith, Blessed John Paul says. At times of our trials, at times the trials will be light. At times will be very difficult and even dramatic. All those people have suffered from these tornadoes. That's a very trying thing of our faith, right? In our trials, we may feel alone. But God's grace, the grace of a victorious faith, will never abandon us. Therefore, we can expect to triumph over every trial, even the hardest. And he goes on, witness, courage, perseverance, fidelity. That is what we need to pray for. It's a wonderful grace that we're here right now. But there's no guarantees that we're going to persevere. We have to pray for the Lord. Dear Jesus, thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you. I believe that you're in the presence and blessing. Thank you for the sign of mercy. I believe. But grant me the grace of perseverance. Now this feast, the Divine Mercy, has apocalyptic tones to it as well. In the diary, for those who read it, and I have a special gift for all of you today, I'm giving everyone out a copy of the Divine Mercy. I got a couple hundred of them. The ushers will be giving out. So if you haven't read it, you have an opportunity to read it. But in the diary, throughout, there's things about the final coming of our Lord, the second coming. Okay? This is what our Lord says, and it's all connected with John Paul II. As I was praying for Poland, St. Faustina said, I heard these words. I bear a special love for Poland, our Lord said. If she will be obedient to my will, I will exalt her in might and holiness. From her, from Poland, will come forth the spark that will prepare the world for my final coming. When Blessed John Paul II canonized St. Faustina, the first saint of the new millennium, he said, this is the reason that God raised me up to the chair of Peter, because of the divine mercy message. He canonized St. Faustina, and he instituted this Feast of Divine Mercy, which our Lord had asked for, saying, I hereby declare that the Sunday now after Easter shall forevermore be known as Divine Mercy Sunday. Pope of the Divine Mercy. Now, with the apocalyptic poems, there's a couple examples just throughout. Our Lord said this, paragraph 429. Write down these words, my daughter, St. Faustina, my secretary of Divine Mercy. Speak to the world about my mercy. Let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign for the end of times. After it will come the day of justice. While there's still time left, let them have recourse to the fount of my mercy. Thank you, Jesus, that we're here today. You have, this is paragraph 635 now, you have to speak to the world about my great mercy and prepare the world for my second coming. And then it says, I will not come as a merciful Savior then, but as the just judge, and how terrible is that day. So speak to the souls about this great mercy while it is still time for granting mercy. Another example, 965, paragraph. Tell souls about this great mercy of mine, because the awful day of justice draws near. And one last example, diary entry number 8, paragraph 83. Write this: before I come as just judge, I'm coming first as the King of Mercy. Before the day of justice arrives, it will be given to the people a sign of the heavens of all sort. And what did it say here in the second reading about our Lord, about the coming? It says, salvation to be ready to reveal in the final time. I can miss the line here. But my dear friends, we turn on the news, we look at the newspaper, you hear about all these horrific things happening. What happened in Japan, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the radiation, all these tornadoes, unprecedented storms throughout. Do you think it's a result of sin? It sure is. Before Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, there was a perfect harmony between man and God and man and nature, because everything was conformed with God's will. But once man abused the gift of free will and used it against God, then it sent out ripple effects throughout the world, throughout the universe, in fact. And there was a connection with all these different things happening. Our Lord talks about that. Before my second coming, there will be storms and unprecedented things that the world has never seen before. We don't know the day nor the hour, but it was in the 1930s that our Lord appeared to St. Faustina. So how much time is that? I don't know. And then it says, the spark shall come from Poland, which shall prepare the world for my final coming. So we get closer and closer. That's why daily, and especially in this day, we turn to God's divine mercy. It's a wonderful gift. A wonderful gift. Now, when you leave the church today, word of advice. It's like, if I could use this analogy, when you get a brand new car, there's no dirt in the seats, huh? No coffee been spilled on the mats. There's no salt that's affected the car with rust. Paint is perfect. There's no chips in the rocks. The windshield's perfect. No bugs on it. Like, wow, it's just perfect. That's how your soul is when you leave today. When you make an intention of communion, Lord, I want all the graces of divine mercy, all the graces. So protect that. Don't put yourself in the occasion of sins, things that led you away before. Try to protect as long as you can and keep that, huh? Wouldn't it be great if we could go from one divine mercy to the next divine mercy, always really close to the Lord? The Lord's patient, but the best you can when we leave here. And ask our Lord, ask Our Lady, wrapped in Christ, that she would wrap in her mantle protection to protect this great gift that God has given you, He's given me, He's given all of us here today. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we trust in Your great and infinite mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen.